La séance numéro...
The 6,967th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in the Central African Republic. The agenda is adopted. Under Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representatives of the Central African Republic and Chad to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. On behalf of the Council, I welcome His Excellency Mr. Nicolas Tshangae, the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic, and I request the protocol officer to escort him to his seat at the Council table. Under Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite Ms. Margaret Vogt, the Special Representative of the Secretary General and Head of the United Nations Integrated Peacebuilding Office in the Central African Republic. It is so decided. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of Agenda Item 2. I wish to draw the attention of Council members to document S/2013/261, the report of the Secretary General on the situation in the Central African Republic. I now give the floor to Ms. Margaret Vogt.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur le Président. Mr. President, distinguished members of the Council, I wish to commend the Council for its dedicated attention to the situation in the Central African Republic since the beginning of the conflict in December 2012, and especially following the coup d'etat against the government of François Bozizé on 24th March 2013, and the attendant degradation of security in the whole country. The deliberations of the Council have been followed with much interest within the country and in the region. Expectations are high among the people of the CAR regarding the outcome of this particular meeting of the Security Council, and there is a growing sense of despair among the population that see no immediate reprieve to the ordeal that presently confront them. There is expectation that the international community would show solidarity with their plight and decide on some clear steps to bring an end to the impunity with which armed groups have unleashed a reign of terror on the entire population. The report before you provides an analysis of the situation in the CAR since the launch of the Seleka offensive in December 2012. It underlines the impact of this rebellion on the people, the state capacity and the infrastructure, on the security, human rights, the humanitarian situation, especially in the medical areas, on access to food, basic needs and services, and the high risk of famine if the current situation persists. It also analyzes the regional implication of the Seleka rebellion. The Secretary General underlines in the report that even at the best of times, the state's capacity and infrastructure in the CAR was already at a rudimentary state, while health services were at an emergency level similar to situations seen in countries that have been in conflict for a long time. Now, even these facilities have all but disappeared, an already challenging human rights environment marked by systemic violations of rights, even by law enforcement officers, has collapsed into a state of anarchy and total disregard for international law, as elements of Seleka turned their vengeance against the population. Indiscriminate and often targeted killings, rampant rapes, assaults on the innocent population, flagrant recruitment of children as soldiers, looting of homes, not just of the rich, but even of already struggling citizens. Even the SOS village was not spared, neither were churches and convents. These acts continue almost 2 months since the Seleka took over the reins of power. The leadership is unable or unwilling neither to control the ranks of the militia groups nor to rein in local commanders. The leaders of the region have strongly mobilized to fill a security vacuum that the rebellion created and have tried to contain the situation in the CAR as the country appears to have become a safe haven to different foreign rebel forces seeking to exploit natural resources for which the CAR is known. Public evidence shows that strip mining of the diamond and gold resources of the CAR have exponentially expanded in areas controlled by Seleka since the rebellion. Further complicating the picture is the growing insecurity in the neighborhood as the conflict now appears to be posing direct threat to security of its neighbors, especially the DRC, Chad, and Cameroon. These serious threats to peace and security of the people of the CAR and the Central African region renders the reestablishment of security and the rule of law in the CAR the highest priority issue. The various summits held in Libreville, N'Djamena, and finally in Brazzaville have laid out solid political ground rules for the new regime in Bangui to follow, as well as a clear roadmap of tasks that must be accomplished to enable the restoration of a democratic dispensation in the CAR. First, the cessation of all hostilities and the restoration of security throughout the territory of the CAR. Secondly, a return to constitutional order that is pegged on the January Libreville peace agreement, with the Prime Minister assuming executive powers whilst the self-proclaimed President Michel Dotoja heads the Transitional Council and is the head of the state of the transition. The scenario as implemented by the de facto authority suggests a different setting. The Transitional Council that was supposed to be representative of all political persuasions in the country and to assume the legislative role of the National Assembly fell short of this expectation as controversy surrounded the procedure through which its members were nominated. Hence, the decision of the heads of state at the 18th March summit at N'Djamena to expand this body to 135. The transitional arrangement is to last for a period of not more than 24 months, ending with elections to which the leaders of the transition would not be eligible to present themselves. While Mr. Dotoja openly declared his acceptance of the decisions of the heads of state of ECAS, he has proceeded in doing the contrary. He insists on his role as president, constantly referring to the decrees naming himself president and his appointment of the prime minister, whom, according to him, he has the power to remove, contrary to Libreville. He continues to run the country by presidential decrees. The international community, especially the African Union, the Organisation de la Francophonie, and this council, as well as many member states bilaterally, have firmly declared their support to the ECAS political framework for the CAR. However, for this to work, a number of important measures would have to be taken. The distinctive roles and responsibilities of the executive prime minister and the head of the transitional government would have to be defined in the framework of a transitional charter that would lay the ground rules for engagement during the period of the transition. Mr. President, on human rights, The Seleka offensive destroyed much of CAR's justice system. In the 10 jurisdictions of the CAR, Seleka elements have destroyed most of the infrastructure that supported the justice system, including courthouses, appeal courts, court dossiers, prisons, prison registries, and prosecutors' files. The justice system, including prisons, will need to be rebuilt entirely. This is after enormous resources had been spent on this through the peace-building fund. The destruction of administrative files related to birth and citizenship will undoubtedly create a problem during the registration of voters for the upcoming elections. The Seleka offensive dismantled the policing architecture. National Security and Defense Forces, the Gendarmerie, Police, and National Army have disintegrated, and despite repeated calls to resume their duties, to date only a small number of the Police and National Armed Forces, FACA, officers have resumed this function. The current crisis underscores the urgency of security sector reform and the urgent need to create an effective and inclusive security sector capable of providing security throughout the country. Broader security sector reform should be based on political consensus. It should include the restoration of state authority, collection of small arms and light weapons, and community recovery programs, as well as the reintegration of ex-combatants into formal security and defense forces. Mr. President, the abuses and violations committed by Seleka combatants and other armed elements, including cases of rapes, maiming, recruitment of children, and forced marriages, are a source of grave concern for the protection of civilians. They constitute serious violations of human rights and humanitarian law. The High Commissioner for Human Rights, the Special Representative for Children in Armed Conflict, as well as the Secretary General, have expressed their concern about the deteriorating security situation in the CAR. It is critical that the Council unequivocally pronounces itself on the need for these abuses to be stopped now and for perpetrators to be individually held accountable for their action. We believe that the time is ripe for this Council to consider the imposition of individual sanctions against the architects and perpetrators of these gross violations. We do not want a desperate population to be left with no choice but to take the law into their own hands. The International Criminal Court is also closely monitoring the developments in the CAR, and the prosecutor of the ICC has issued a statement warning that crimes committed against civilians were under close scrutiny by her office. We believe the Council needs to pass a similar message. Mr. President, on the humanitarian situation, the latest crisis has exacerbated an already difficult situation for the population of the CAR. Human rights violations against the civilian population and the difficulties of movements have really grossly exacerbated this problem. Over 49,000 refugees have now registered in neighboring countries since December, primarily in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Chad, Cameroon, and the Republic of Congo. We should not forget that the population of the entire CAR is only 4.5 million. Substantial numbers of refugees continue to arrive in these countries. In addition to the estimated 173,000 displaced since December, another 33,000 persons were already displaced, bringing the total number of IDPs to over 200,000. The number of violent attacks has dramatically increased in the first quarter of 2013 as a result of persistent insecurity in the country. Over 60% of these attacks are attributed to armed groups, at least one person is attacked daily since the beginning of 2013. According to the FAO, 60% of rural inhabitants who depend on agriculture now for their livelihood are affected by the current crisis. More than 80,000 people, including 57,000 children under 5, are estimated to be at risk of severe food insecurity during the upcoming lean season from now till September. These figures are likely to increase with the rise in food prices triggered by the crisis. If seeds are not distributed during the present planting season, coupled with the increase in prices revealed by recent assessments in Bangui, there could be a risk of basic food shortages. This could eventually lead to acute food and nutritional insecurity in both rural and urban areas. With schools closed or occupied and teachers absent, at least 656,000 children currently have no access to education. Difficult humanitarian access due to insecurity and limited road network is the number one constraint for reaching those in need of assistance. Access has become severely curtailed since December amid the breakdown of law and order, with many humanitarian offices and warehouses looted around the country. While all parties have in principle agreed to facilitate humanitarian access, insecurity is limiting humanitarian actors' ability to reach those in need of assistance, including the internally displaced persons, host communities, and victims of human rights violations. Despite these constraints, the United Nations agencies and programs are organizing joint assessment missions to the field to identify needs and the humanitarian impact of the crisis. Missions in some provinces revealed that the humanitarian situation is worsening in the areas of health and water, sanitation, nutrition and protection, food security and education. The most urgent needs are in the food security sector, where households have altered their diet by changes to their food sources and the need of garbage disposal. Further assessments are planned in the coming weeks. Additional funding is urgently required to support the humanitarian response capacity. The annual appeal for the CAR, totaling $129 million, is 29% funded as of 10th May. It was estimated in March that an additional $42 million was required to respond to the new needs triggered by the crisis, and this is likely to increase further. Mr. President, distinguished members of the Council, in concluding, I believe that there's an urgent need to help restore security and stability in the CAR. This should be done, in our view, by deploying a neutral security force that would contain the current state of anarchy and would force the rebel elements to conform to the security framework laid down in Libreville. And this framework is that all forces be cantoned or regrouped, disarmed, demobilized, screened for absorption into a reformed security force. The Security Council and the entire international community must act quickly to protect the people of the CAR from the assault they are under by these armed groups. The situation in Bangui is particularly pressing as the city has the largest population concentration, about 1.5 million people, of a population of 4.5 million. But this effort should not, in our view, be limited to Bangui. The presence of such neutral stabilization force, together with the close political accompaniment of the follow-up committee established by the region and the just established international contact group to accompany the transition, in our view, is critical in providing a security and political blanket that would enable the authorities implement the Libreville peace agreement and would allow the Prime Minister to play his role as executive head of government. The international effort would also help to ensure that assistance would not be abused in feeding impunity and authoritarianism. We welcome the current initiative by ECOWAS to expand its force to 2,000, and this requires the urgent support of the international community. It would also be critical for the regional force FOMAC to review its strategic objectives and concept of operation to give the force some teeth. A meeting is taking place today precisely to look into this issue. This short-term initiative needs to be followed, in our view, quickly by an expanded regional force, possibly coordinated by the African Union, with the support of the international community. However, for the very immediate, a bridging arrangement is required to stop the current carnage. The United Nations, through BINUCA, has worked closely with the region in defining these parameters for the transition that is based on solid democratic principles and legality. Experience has taught us, Mr. Chair, that these principles are not just words. They are critical foundations for sustainable peace and security. To establish a credible and enduring political framework post-transition, the foundations must be laid down now. The crucial transitional tasks, such as the establishment of the election management bodies, the definition of the electoral constituencies, DDR, SSR, regionalization, the development of the rule of law and justice mechanism, social and economic development, and so forth and so on, require a representative body that reflects the interests of the entire society. Otherwise, the transition may result in another round of conflicts. This is why we insist on Libreville as the legal basis. For the United Nations, the role of the Prime Minister as the juridical face of the transition is critical, as this position was a product of an agreement to which everyone had subscribed to. We strongly believe that we should not encourage a system of impunity in a situation through which a democratic order is overturned by force of arms, even when confronted with serious governance challenges. The Libreville Agreement was designed to address some of the grievances tabled by the rebels while respecting the democratic framework. The coup d'etat overturned this transitional process and forcefully imposed a new order. It is critical, in our view, to support the region, ECOWAS and the African Union, and the regional actors in reestablishing the principles of the basic principles of Libreville. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Je remercie Madame.
I thank Madame Margaret Vogt for that briefing. I should now like to give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Nicolas Tshangai, the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic. Thank you, Mr. President. In beginning, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, ambassadors, I'd like to say sorry for being late, which was due to circumstances outside of my control. In fact, this was due to communication issues. So I'm very sorry. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Council, it's a great honor to take the floor for this distinguished body. Allow me to take this opportunity to congratulate you, Mr. Ambassador, on taking up the presidency of the Security Council for this month. I should like to guarantee you of the full support of my delegation during your term. Allow me to also take this opportunity to pay tribute to your predecessor, the permanent representative of Rwanda and ambassador, for the work he accomplished on his watch in April. President, distribution of the SG's report to the Council is for me and my country a time to convey the gratitude of the Central African Republic to the Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, for the unwavering support of the United Nations to peace, stability, and development in this highly fragile state, in the hands of almost ongoing instability. And here we should also like to thank the Special Representative, Madam Margaret Vogt, as well as all of her team. Mr. President, the report we have before us has the merit of being clear and concise, as it describes the on-the-ground situation of what is currently going on in the Central African Republic. Indeed, a hitherto unseen tragedy, one which is never before seen in its ancient or recent history, is unfolding before our eyes in this state of 4.6 million inhabitants. And we note this. The Central African crisis, which has long been forgotten, must once again come to the forefront, center stage, and become an agenda item for the Security Council. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, this tragedy, which has engulfed the Central African Republic at all levels, is characterized by disturbances to public order, violence, summary executions, rape, the recruitment of child soldiers, and crimes committed against the flora and fauna, such as the poaching cases in the Nzanga Park in Nzanga, where more than 20 elephants were killed last week, has led to humanitarian consequences, in particular an exacerbation of the already delicate situation in poverty. Since the successive takings of cities in the province, subject to acts of looting, up until the entry into the capital of Bangui of the Seleka troops on 24 March 2013, the city of Bangui has seen over 3 weeks repeated heavy and light weaponry firing in neighborhoods, which has led to massive displacement of peoples within the country as well as outside of it, insecurity in neighborhoods because of looting, rape, destruction and assassinations perpetrated by lawless elements of Seleka. This also applies to those who are tasked with protecting public and private establishments. Lack of security on roadways and in regions has made the circulation of persons and goods impossible and has thus obstacled economic recovery. Reigning insecurity within strategic infrastructure, such as fuel storage warehouses in Kolongo, water, electricity distribution entities, as well as dredging activities in Ubangui for maritime circulation, etc. Systematic looting of documents and bureaucratic material from administrations, pharmaceutical products, as well as medical and biomedical material in hospitals, destruction of production tools, with the consequence of most companies being unable to pay their tariffs and taxes to the state. All of this is a threat to the very stability of the organization established by the Libreville agreements, as well as successful decisions of the ECAS summits organized in Djamena in Chad. These violations disrupt the daily life of people and provide a particularly painful and concerning illustration of the situation. Nevertheless, generally speaking, the process of establishing the structures recommended by the last summit of heads of state and government held in Jamena on 18 April has been moving forward with respect to recommendations that have been made. Nevertheless, the situation remains worrisome in spite of the goodwill of the government and the efforts of MECOPAX. Indeed, certain incidents that have been noted continue to be worrisome for the national opinion and international community, and could indeed be an obstacle to the efforts made by the government and the international community for security, peace, and stability in the Central African Republic as well as in the sub-region. Given this chaotic situation, where the state has been deeply rocked and even broken, what do we intend to do? Well, first and foremost, on the institutional and political fronts. Pursuant to the recommendations of the emergency summit of the heads of state and government of ECAS in Jamena of 18 April 2013, a government engaged in broad consultations and shall be established in the forthcoming days. That is a government of national unity with respect to the Transition National Council. Initially, there were supposed to be 105 members under ECAS. ECAS moved the number to 135 members so as to guarantee the broadest representation possible in the transition management process. Elected in suspicious circumstances against all rules, the current office of the Transition National Council in the forthcoming days should be abolished so as to adapt to current circumstances. And here I would recall that the outlines of this political transition were sketched out by ECAS during different summits in N'Djamena on 18 April 2013, as well as in Brazzaville on 3 May. It is clearly indicated in the N'Djamena statement that all players having contributed to the management of the transition, such as the head of the transition, the prime minister, ministers, members of the office of the TNC, cannot present their candidature during the next presidential elections. We would note that the international community unequivocally condemned this unconstitutional change, which was brought about by force. Nevertheless, ECAS did note the election by the TNC of Mr. Djotodia as the President of the Republic and did confer upon him the title of head of state of the transition. ECAS also recognized the legitimacy of the Prime Minister because he was appointed the head of a government of national unity created following the Libreville agreements of 11 January 2013. And now on the security situation and the rule of law. As we indicated, the collapse of state and the disappearance of security and defense forces have led to a security vacuum, and with it came total anarchy, which led to widespread violence and gross violations of human rights, such as the looting of public and private property, arrests and arbitrary detentions, sexual violence committed against women and children, torture, rape, targeted assassinations or killings, the recruitment of child soldiers, and other atrocities perpetrated by lawless elements of Seleka and non-identified groups. This also touched the United Nations because the residences of national and international personnel was looted and pillaged by stolen vehicles. Bangui is seeing an alarming situation where looting and pillaging of houses has reached an unimaginable level and has brought the country to backslide several years. And all of this has gone with the stealing of cars and armed robberies. Schools and numerous businesses in Bangui continue to be closed, given reigning insecurity. Outside of Bangui, security situations continue to worsen, and elements from Celica continue to commit acts of vandalism, violations of human rights, as well as acts of violence against civilians. We would note that this looting targets first and foremost non-Muslims and spares Muslims, and this situation is a source of resentment amongst the Christian communities and has fueled the fire of religious tension. And finally, the LRA is proliferating in lawless zones and is a threat to the security of state. And during this time, the LRA killed at least 7 people and has abducted several others. This very time, the head of the rebellion has been killed and some of its combatants have defected. Uganda, at one time had announced the suspension of monitoring activities in the area where the LRA is active, following a declaration of the head of state of transition, has actually come back on its decision following an agreement found between different institutions engaged in the hunt for Joseph Kony and his men. We would note that the Celica offensive destroyed a large part of the judiciary, as well as administrative infrastructure such as the mayor's institutions, and this will be a problem for elections in the future. The Celica offensive totally destroyed the infrastructure of law enforcement. The defense forces and security forces have fallen apart. In spite of repeated appeals for former defense and security forces to come back to their posts, today only a small number of officers of the army and the police have come back. And while Celica took power against the political and military powers of the country, Celica still has not reestablished order to date. In spite of the efforts of the government in the area of DDR and SSR, security sector reform, unfortunately, desired results have yet to be produced. ECAS deployed about 700 men. And now the troop level has been raised to 2,000 because there is an emergency situation where the individuals deployed must be fully equipped and trained with a mandate to use force. Security sector reform, which was for some time delayed, should be launched so as to provide a foundation for the new security and defense forces. With respect to upholding human rights, the already tenuous situation worsened over the course of the conflict, with summary executions and targeted killings for religious or tribal motives. Violence was perpetrated against women and children, and child soldiers recruited, etc. Essentially, there have been clear violations of human rights, and we must find the ways to eradicate such violations in the future. With respect to the humanitarian situation, it was exacerbated after the taking of Bangui, and more than 47,000 people fled the country to find refuge in the DRC, in Congo, Cameroon, and in Chad. There are almost 1,500 million IDPs. There is no humanitarian corridor, and thus, in lack of security, the looting of property and non-governmental NGO vehicles has complicated their activities in bringing aid to these people. This chaotic situation has led us to request the Security Council take up the matter of the Central African Republic, make it a part of its agenda, and ensure that this crisis stop being a forgotten one. given the dissolution of the army, and to save the population, which is today experiencing great suffering, and before the necessary deployment of the Miko Pak's forces, that of 2,000 troops, and here we hope to see the participation of the ECAS, we would request France, who has a clear mandate from the United Nations to intervene with force so as to disarm elements of Seleka, the Central African people suffering the atrocities perpetrated by Seleka has great need of such an intervention. And thus, we would request the EU and the African Union to spare no effort in financially supporting and or provide means or forces which would intervene under this mission. We would request the United Nations appoint a special rapporteur tasked with investigating violations of human rights in the Central African Republic so as to determine the scope of crimes and launch prosecutions against perpetrators before international and national jurisdictions. To help to open humanitarian corridors so it's to allow humanitarian actors to provide aid and assistance to populations and other displaced peoples, we would call upon the international community to mobilize so as to provide emergency aid, significant aid, which is necessary for the survival of more than 1,500,000 victims. And finally, we would suggest that in the framework of the PBC, the Central African Republic configuration, where the chairmanship has been vacant, be reactivated, and this in agreement with the Central African authorities. When we will have resolved the security situation, even if it be it only partially, well, then we will start working on rebuilding the state and organizing elections which should be transparent and credible. Mr. President, before concluding, allow me to appeal to the United Nations, the African Union, the European Union, the Union of Francophonie, ECAS, France, the United States of America, Great Britain, Belgium, Luxembourg, Australia, China, Japan, Germany, the Republic of Korea, the Kingdom of Morocco, Uganda, all bilateral and multilateral partners. I should like to thank you all for having supported the Central African Republic in its untiring quest for peace and stability. I should like to express the thanks of my government to all of you. To all of those who have grown tired of this situation, we would say that we must continue to move forward, to continue to believe in the Central African Republic and work to support it. Sir, to help the Central African Republic is to continue to stabilize the Central African subregion. Helping the Central African Republic means shoring up peace in Africa. Helping the Central African Republic means acting in solidarity. Solidarity from the international community with respect to one of its members who is clinging to life, to peace, and to the flourishing of its people. I thank you, sir.
Je remercie son excellence, Monsieur Nicolas.
I thank His Excellency, Mr. Nicolas Tiangai, for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Chad. Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the presidency of the ECAS, Economic Community of Central African States, I have the honor and privilege of taking the floor. I first wish to welcome the presence today of His Excellency Nicolas Tiangai, the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic, and I wish to express our congratulations and our admiration at the sacrifice he is making to save his country. I also wish to welcome among us Margaret Vogt, the Special Representative of the Secretary General in Central Africa, and I note her important and moving presentation on the situation in the Central African Republic. I would now like to quote His Excellency Idriss Déby Itno, President of the Republic of Chad, who, as current chair of the ECCAS, speaking to his peers on April 18, 2013 in N'Djamena during the special summit of the ECCAS on the Central African Republic, said, and I quote, "The Central African Republic is like an open wound at the heart of Central Africa. Despite all of the remedies prescribed and applied throughout the crises this country has experienced, the wound does not heal except superficially. We must mobilize very seriously to put an end, and I hope this time definitely, to this situation of recurrent instability," end quote. Mr. President, we must avoid the wound from becoming infected with gangrene and contaminating the entire sub-region. The danger, the potential for such a contamination is already there. The Special Representative of the Secretary General described them very carefully. Since March 24th, the security and humanitarian situation in the Central African Republic, which already was of grave concern, has deteriorated considerably. Uncontrolled armed groups, made up of several thousands of men, continue to loot, hold hostage, and commit atrocities across the territory of the Central African Republic. The population, in distress, waits in vain for concrete action to be taken by the international community in the person of ECCAS, the Economic Community of Central Africa, in order to better protect them. It is true that the international community condemned the unconstitutional change of regime which took place in the CAR. The ECCAS did the same and refused to recognize the self-proclaimed president. And then realpolitik led the ECCAS to adopt a crisis management plan. Whilst restoring a degree of legality, it takes account of reality on the ground. This is how an 18-month transitional institution was established, a roadmap was drawn up for the transition government in order to restore political normalcy, and the political agreement signed on January 11, 2013 in Libreville was proclaimed as the core of commitments during the transition period. Mr. President, as you are aware, after the coup d'etat, a special summit of the ECCAS was held in N'Djamena last April 3rd. Apart from member states of ECCAS, other participants at the summit were His Excellency Jacob Zuma, the President of the Republic of South Africa, His Excellency Dr. Yayi Boniyayi, President of the Republic of Benin, as well as the African Union, the United Nations, the European Union, and the International Organization of the Francophonie. The special summit of ECCAS not only condemned the taking by force of power in the Central African Republic, it also called on the leader of CELICA, Mr. Michel Djotodia, the self-proclaimed president, to adhere to the peace agreements of Libreville signed last January 11th. As the outcome of the work of the summit, the heads of state of ECOWAS proposed the establishment of a college bringing together all active forces in the Central African Republic to play the role of the executive and of a constituent assembly. This is part of a broad involvement both of the signatories to the Libreville agreements and other actors or stakeholders from civil society or political parties. The principle of supporting the transition by the follow-up committee and the creation of an international contact group, including regional and international organizations, as well as bilateral and multilateral partners, was agreed upon. All of the Central African stakeholders, including the self-proclaimed president, accepted without any conditions the roadmap proposed by the ECOWAS summit. According to the latest reports, a National Transition Council, which will also act as the constituent assembly, has been established on the basis of a broad consultation involving all active forces in the Central African Republic. This constituent assembly has the basic mission of drafting a constitution in order to prepare the elections in 18 months' time. The National Transitional Council elected the head of SEDECA as the president for the transition period. And this National Transition Council is going to be extended so it is a more legitimate representative of the Central African Republic's population. The Prime Minister, Nicolas Tshangai, was appointed by the Libreville agreements. He has broader powers, and these powers cannot be revoked, nor can he be recalled during the transition period. If circumstances so require, the President and Prime Minister may, by a joint agreement, proceed to reshuffle the government. The transition president, the Prime Minister, and other members of the transition government will not run for office in the upcoming elections. At the end of this transition, a constitutional referendum, legislative elections, and presidential elections will take place according to a timeline agreed upon by consensus in order to return to an uncontested democratic constitutional order. Mr. President, it is clear that none of this would be possible without the safety of individuals and property, and also without the material and financial means which the transition authorities must have in order to carry out their mission. It is precisely to respond to these issues that the ECOWAS agreed upon the creation of the International Contact Group, which held its first meeting in Brazzaville last May 3rd. When it comes to security, there is an urgent need to neutralize armed groups. In order to do so, we must recall the Najema Declaration of ECOWAS on April 18th, which highlights the need to canton all uncontrolled armed groups by confining them to their barracks. It must also be recalled that to ensure a minimum security for the Central African Republic, FOMAC forces must be increased to the level of 2,000 troops. And there's an urgent call for the international community to support MICOPACS with material and financial means in order to increase troops and strengthen their effectiveness. The Commission of the African Union is called upon to take appropriate measures in order to assess MICOPACS's needs in troops, equipment, and financing, as well as to generate forces to have an operational and logistical support concept which will benefit from African support and the support of the international community. The international community, and in particular, the Security Council, has a duty to express solidarity and provide assistance to the Central African Republic, which is in agony in view of the political situation and chaotic social conditions of that country. In the meantime, ECOWAS is doing everything within its power to assist the Central Africans. Its most forces are engaged in the field to assist transition authority to reduce as much as possible the level of insecurity. It is urgent for Africa and for the international community as a whole to take specific commitments to support the economic community of Central African states and to support the Central African transition, to help the Central African population, which is in danger. To conclude, I would like to indicate to the Security Council that a visit is being undertaken in the countries of the sub-region, beginning with Chad. The President of the Republic of Chad, His Excellency Idriss Déby, the current President of ECOWAS, invited the transition president to scrupulously adhere to his commitments, in particular, to ensure that there is rapid restoration of order and security and the respect of human rights. Thank you very much.
Je remercie le représentant.
I thank the representative of Chad for his statement. There are no further speakers inscribed on my list. The members of the Security Council will now consider the subject in consultations. The meeting is adjourned.